today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. The question that I have put on the table, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines because we're doing a lot of healing today. I've already told you how to break your social media addiction. You're welcome. Now, I want to talk about what does America owe Black people? Because there is an argument right now that America doesn't owe us anything. That's what I think is very interesting, that they're saying, look, I mean, it's been many years now where we're no longer enslaved. We're no longer dealing with Jim Crow. We got a Black man who has lived in the White House. We got Black folks in all positions of power. We got Kamala Harris strolling to the polls. Maybe we're at a moment where America no longer owes us anything. I want to ask you what you think about this, because I've been wrestling with this for quite a while, and I want to hear from you. I want to throw out a couple of statistics for you when you start thinking about what America owes us, because we understand the full extent of who we are at this moment is a result of the conditioning we've had in this country. I'm going to connect this back to social media addiction. Because remember, we got addicted to social media. We got connected to social media. We begin to believe in the social media personality that we constructed. It became real to us. That same type of conditioning has happened with Black folks in this country. It's been a conditioning around Blackness that comes out of the white community, that comes out of the Asian American community, that comes out of the Latinx community, that comes out of the indigenous community, and that comes out of the Black community about us as Black people. I want to take you back to a study that was done in 2007 in the Journal of Marriage and Family. It found back then in 2007 that 17,000, they looked at 17,000 families of kindergartners. So I did 2007 specifically because in 2007, let's come forward to where they are now. They were in kindergarten in 2007. They found that parents of color were three times more likely to discuss race than their white counterparts. They found in 2007, if you come forward now, those young people are now in their 30s, early 30s. Their parents, if they were white or Asian American, did not talk about race. They found that today, when they redid the study, less than 5 years ago, 75% of the white parents in this study either never or almost never talked about race. In Black households, 75% of parents said they always talked about race. Always. In my household, with my sons, we always talked about race. It was never something that was possibly, maybe, going to be part of the communication channels. It was always used as a lens through which we saw everything. Hey, something happened to you in a store? Let's break this down. Because part of it could be that you're Black. Part of it could be that you're a young man. Part of it could be because you're in the wrong community. It could be a whole lot of things. But let's start with race, and then let's go to gender, because I'm raising Black sons. I want to connect that to what's happening with the Henrietta Lacks family and the Black family dealing with beach property. What does America owe Black folks? We have Fran on the phone. Fran's a new caller. Welcome to the show, Fran.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yep. I'm wondering with the question of what does Black think America owe them?
Yes.
I think just that they owe us just to a parent, just to for us to have a peace of mind and stop always downing the Blacks. We need the thing of us. They took away the signs of Black this and white that, but it, within that air, it's still a racial thing. You know, it's so that they'll make it so that we, not that you can't go places, but you can go, but you're not, you're different from anybody else. We're all people, so we all need to be able to go anywhere and do a lot of things together. We need more togetherness. We need more love. We need more understanding of a people thing. Mm.
So not how do we get this, Fran? How do we get this togetherness people. And love? How do we get this? Fran, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
I said, how do we get this? How do we get this love that you're talking about?
Uh-huh. How was the love with?
How do we get it?
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you.
Okay, so Fran, you're saying we need more love. It's a people thing. How do we get this love?
How you get this love?
Yes.
How they have separated us from a lot of things they're trying to separate the families. So that's breaking down the love. The churches should have more love, but they're breaking that down. You know, it's the love is being broken down. You can't touch nobody. You can't hug nobody. You can't even just kiss somebody and mean love.
Okay.
That's part of love, and that's a part of associating with others. They've taken a lot of that away. People are like, don't touch me because it's a sexual harassment. That sexual harassment thing has really gone way and beyond of what it normally was meant to be in the beginning.
Okay,
so love is going out the window.
We've gone into another topic. Thank you, friend. I do want to, in putting a pin on that discussion. Okay, so putting a pin on that discussion, I want to be very clear that sexual harassment is going exactly where it's supposed to go. Sexual harassment is about the harassing of a person based upon their gender. So, yes, me saying he hugged me and that's sexual harassment is actually assault. If I am not asking for your hug, reciprocating the hug, if you're hugging me without my permission, yeah, no, that falls under sexual assault and sexual harassment. So Fran, I'm not going to agree on that point, but I will kind of put the other point you said, well, what black folks need is love. I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't know what that means. I will say that when I gave you that study, it was a two-part study. So the children who are now in their 30s were in middle school and high school when they had the study done. They also asked the same question to kindergartners. In other words, they were trying to figure out parents, white parents in particular, were they talking to their children about race? What they found in a recent study is that white parents communicate messages to their children that skin color doesn't matter and that everyone is equal, but that the children know that that message is a lie based upon their own experiences, even as early as infancy. Children know it's a lie when you say race doesn't matter and everyone is equal. They know it's a lie. Zora said, why would the system of white supremacy give African Americans love? Mabel says, look, she looked at her tree on Ancestry, Ancestry.com, where she found her mama's great-great-grandmother and was able to trace back from various censuses. It turns out that her mama's great-great-grandmother was sold 5 times. Think about that. For her labor and for a woman, a black woman, it's not just your labor, it's also your womb. Let's be clear that the economic structure of this country goes through a black woman's womb. Why? Because they would rape young girls, get them pregnant every single year, because every baby that they had, it belonged to the plantation owner and it represented money. Mabel says, I truly believe I am owed her wages. And same for my dad's great-great-grandfather, who I was able to find because he was listed as property. I know I am owed for his labor. We have Marie on the phone from Baltimore. What does America owe black people, if anything at all? Marie, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I want to make this short. Reparations. And if you know what reparations mean, you won't have to, let's say, have callers call in for this or that. That covers housing. It covers jobs. It covers paychecks. And we can go on and on and on, and we'll always come back to the word reparations.
So you want now? Let's be clear. When you say reparations,
yeah,
you're talking about the 40 acres, the $50, and the mule that we were all promised, which comes to about $1.4 trillion to the families, mm-hmm. to the descendants of enslaved men and women in this country.
Yeah.
Which roughly is about, well, I think about $85,000 or so, but just saying, look, pay that money and everything else will come along and be okay.
Pay the money and other things.
Okay. Thank you for that, Marie. Thank you very much. I hear you.
410-319-8888.
What does America owe black people, if anything at all? Does this country owe us? I say that because I don't know about you. It seems like the whole reparations thing, I mean, you can help me out, Justina. There doesn't seem a lot of movement on reparations anymore. Like, I remember, and some of you might have been with me, we were demanding reparations from Joe Biden. We're like, you know what, Joe? Good old Joe, you need to pay reparations. And all of a sudden, Joe got elected. Joe ain't talking about reparations anymore. It used to be part of his agenda. It's not. Maybe because there's too much going on. I don't know. But I'm with Rob T. Rob says, you know what? You can miss me with all that. Just cut me the check. I'm saying, run me my change, Rob. I am with you. What is black America? What are we owed, if anything at all? We have Clarence, Dwayne, William, and Ock. What are we owed? Let's start with William. William, how are you? William, are you with us?
You doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. Listen, I'm a first-time caller.
I'm so happy to have you.
Yes, and I just would like to say that it's like a balancing act. If we do not take reparations and you give us voting rights, you give us equity in housing, and you give us things that we can do to improve our way of life, I think it would balance out and we don't have to worry about reparations.
Okay, so now let's unpack that. Okay, so this is what I want to know. You said if we had our voting rights, which we are supposed to have as per the 15th Amendment that gave black men the right to vote and protected their right to vote, the 14th Amendment that talks about civil rights and civil liberties, the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 is supposed to protect our voting. We're supposed to already have that. Number two, you said equity in housing. The Fair Housing Act of 1968 was supposed to guarantee us fair housing. We know redlining took care of that. So you want them to go back to the old acts and what, enforce them rather than give us reparations?
No, what I'm saying is I would trade off all of that reparations for being given those things, because you're not being given those things even though those things have been passed. You're still not getting them anyway.
Right, but if we were to get them... You know there are ebbs and flows, though, right, brother? We know that there are moments in our history, as fractured and racist as it is, where we have had equal access to the voting booth, a la Barack Obama, a la Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Like, we do have certain periods of time, access to the ballot box. But you're saying, you know what? Forget reparations. Forget running us our coins. And instead, just stand by and enforce the acts that you should have been enforcing as of 1965 anyway.
And make sure that it happens.
Okay.
Because, you know, talk is, you know, vague. You know that. But
yeah, I know.
If we could get those things done, I would take that trade-off at any time. But make sure that it's enforced and that it's done.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Because our people, you know, you're trying to get money, and I understand that, but money is not going to last long. We want things that's going to last forever, for generations and generations and generations.
Okay, I appreciate
so that everyone will have some kind of piece of the pie in America.
I appreciate you for putting that on the table, William. I just wonder, y'all, because William is saying, look, America, y'all need to enforce the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Y'all need to enforce the Fair Housing Act of 1968. Look, America, y'all need to be nice to us, right? I mean, we stand by as black folks. Be nice to us. I'm done with being nice. Run me my change. That's where I am. Why? Because I know within the money, hear me out, within the money becomes an opportunity for generational wealth. I can take the money and do what Zora Simone said. I can go buy some land so my children can have land, which is a reminder, are you buying your home? I think we talked about this. If you're buying your home, make sure, particularly in Baltimore City, make sure you're buying the land as well. You want to give to your children not just the home, but the land. They can raise the home and have the land and be able to sell that, right? So I can buy land for generational wealth. You run me my change, and I can set up a trust fund so the children of my children can go to college. No. Don't just enforce my acts. You should be doing that anyway and then running me my change. America shouldn't get off the hook, but that's my opinion. What do you think America owes Black folks? We have Clarence on the phone, then Dwayne, Unk, and G. Clarence, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking the call, Dr. K. Hey, Dr. K, I have two things I would like to bring to the table. Reparations. Yes, America owes Black folks a lot, but what form of payment is acceptable to all of us? I mean, me, a decent education, maybe no taxes forever, you know, something like that. You know, the level the playing field, those things that really would level the playing field. But, Doc, I want to go back to this issue about the polls that said these certain ethnic groups never discuss rates. When you look at enslavement of Black people, who, you know, the country was built on their backs, and then subsequent to being out of slavery, Black communities were economically exploited first by the Jewish community, then by Asian community, and now, you know, even to this day by Arabs and Asian communities. That economic exploitation does not occur without a discussion about race. Mm. They are less than equal or not equal to us. They should be, we should separate ourselves from them. In other words, we exploit them economically and move on to a better life wherever we live at. This actuality that we live today does not happen without a discussion about race. So I just can't go along with that, Doc.
I get what you're saying. That part of the whole oppressive system is you got to say something about race.
Right. Thanks, yeah. Doc. That's all I wanted to bring out. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you. Hey, folks, I want to throw something else out before I go back to your phone calls. When they pay reparations, and now I'm going to take a big leap here, Justina. I'm going to go ahead and leap. It's Tuesday. I'm wondering, just hear me for a second. I'm wondering, in addition to America owing us reparations for slavery, should America also pay reparations for the high number of Black people, Black men in particular, who were incarcerated during the war on drugs that got started under Ronald Reagan? Let's not forget that under Ronald Reagan, every 8.5 days, another prison opened up under Ronald Reagan. Black men were disproportionately represented in the jail system under Ronald Reagan, and of course, supported by the three strikes rule under Bill Clinton, which a number of Black pastors supported. Do they owe us reparations for that? If you look at the numbers now, hear me out. When you talk about the gender gap right now, because of mass incarceration of Black men and Black boys in this country, if you look at any community around the country, this came out in the New York Times in April 2015, if you look at any community around the country, for every 100 Black women, guess how many Black men there are? 83. For every 100 Black women, there are only 83 Black men. 1.5 Black men are, in a sense, missing due to mass incarceration. Nearly 1 in 12 Black men between the ages of 25 and 54 are in jail. 1 in 12. That's 5 times the rate of non-Black men that age. For the white community, for every 100 white women, there are 99 white men. More Black men have been sent to jail and are being disproportionately incarcerated. More Black women as well, but Black men is out of control. Do they also owe us reparations for that? I'm saying, you locked our men up. You locked our sons up for the same crimes that their white counterparts got a slap in the hand. Maybe you owe us reparations for that, too. Since the labor of Black men and Black boys helped to build a multi-billion dollars mass incarceration, the industrial complex. 410-319. 88. Melissa said, you know what, run us our money for incarceration, for deaths, the drug babies. Like, run us the money for all of that, because all of it's part of a system to keep us oppressed. Let's go to Dwayne from Baltimore City. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm just happy to be here, Dr. K. I'm listening to this conversation, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this moves the ball forward. I mean, because we know what we're owed, you know, in a deep sense. You know, we know we're owed reparations, but I think what's worse than that we owe is what we owe each other. And because we won't come together, because we, you know, seem to not have that thing that binds us besides our pain, because we don't have that love for one another, we are 20 paces back further than where we should be, because we ain't working together. We're not pooling resources together and starting, you know, industries and businesses. We just constantly at each other's throats instead of lifting one another up. So yes, we're owed reparations. I get that. I say, but a deeper, more troublesome thing that hurts us the most is what we owe each other and what we won't give each other so we can lift ourselves up.
I like that. So I think what you just said, that actually might move the conversation forward, Dwayne. Maybe that's the next level of conversation. Maybe it's not what America owes Black people, but what do we owe each other?
Right. That's what we need to be talking about, because, man, if we just pull together just a little bit, dang, we could do so much more than what we've done. But we're just not doing it. We're watching everybody else do it, and we're not doing it. Then we try to run behind the excuse of, well, every time we try to do something, they tear it down, blah, blah, blah. That's not a reason not to do it.
Right. Good point, Dwayne. Good point. Since even though they burned down Rosewood, doesn't mean we need to not build another Rosewood. Build another Black Wall Street.
Let's
That's go
right.
to Shirley can, next. Shirley, a new call from Baltimore. I go to Shirley, and I go to G, then Ben, then Ankh. Hey, Shirley.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Well, I feel like James Brown. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, and I get it myself.
Uh-uh.
I feel like education should be free on all levels. I feel that any kind of trade school, whatever you want to learn, medical school, doctor, lawyer, whatever, you know, plumbing, and our children should be able to go to whatever school we desire for them to go to for free. Yes, that's what I think. That's how they could pay us back, by letting us have free education, and so that we can go and do it for ourselves. Because there's a lot of talented and smart, academically, Black people who can't afford to go to school.
I like that. So maybe what we're talking about, don't give us money, because this is what you're saying. Don't give us money. Give us free education.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shirley. So, folks, on one hand, you have folks like me who are saying, run me my change. And on the other hand, people are saying things like free education. Someone says, hey, you need to make sure the Voting Rights Act of 1965 gets enforced. Hey, make sure the Fair Housing Act of 1968 gets enforced. Like, if they do that, they don't have to pay us our money. Melissa said, I think folks are mistaken when they think we know what we are owed. There's a clear lack of understanding when it comes to valuing our community. Our children have been let down. Ooh, that's a good point. 410-319-8888. G's on the phone. Then we have Ben, Alvin, and Ankh. G, how are you?
How are you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I know what America owes us.
What?
They owe us America.
Oh, the whole thing?
They owe us America. This is our land. Before anything happened, we had better education. We had things that in this country people don't understand. Except that America was once ruled by Black folk. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you look at the history, or even what George Washington says, upon penalty of our own death, you take away the feathers and we take away the turbans of these people and their sandals and keep them oppressed on the press, even in the presence of their own death. That's what it is. That this country is built on our backside, our ancestors' backside, enslavement, brought over from different lands. They owe us America. That's what they owe us. And the education, I thought that guy, Mr. Dwayne, was looking at my notes. But in the education system, the STEM education they talk about, science, technology, engineering, math, well, that's a Kemetic form of engineering.
Yeah.
Kemet, Egypt, which taught all that stuff about science and technology and farming and agriculture and all that good stuff. And healthcare, as you get letters, the thing is the fear about our people is this. We're afraid to unite because we've seen what happened in the past in history when we do unite. They burn things down, they flood things over, or they lynch and burn us down. But we got to stand strong in the Lord and the power of our might in order to make sure our things and our children will have a future. And that's my take on it.
I appreciate you. Day. I just want to add something just as we're flushing this out. Remember I said earlier I was talking about Ronald Reagan and every 8.5 days, another prison was built? Hear me, listen to this. In 1980, go back, for those of you who are part of that era, you can remember that. In 1980, only 50,000 people were behind bars for nonviolent drug offenders in 1980. By 1997, that number had jumped to more than 400,000 people, a majority of them black. The drug war, the flooding of our community with heroin, all of those things, when you start talking about reparations, I'm saying change needs to be run for all of it. We have Ben on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Ben, how are you?
You're doing that, okay?
I'm doing well.
Let me take you off speaker. Hold on real quick.
Hello? All right, Ben's gone. Let's go to Ankh from Mount Vernon. Ankh, how are you?
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we're talking about reparations for slavery. What about Jim Crow? I'm a Jim Crow baby boomer. I know what, riding in the back of that bus and them colored fountains. Why not talk about getting reparations for Jim Crow baby boomers while we're alive?
There you go. So should we add to that, Ankh, also reparations for slavery and mass incarceration, or you just want to deal with Jim Crow?
Just Jim Crow. I'm still alive. I want my 40 acres. I want my $5 million. That's why while I'm still alive. I'm almost dead. What am I going to do with an education?
That's a good point.
Now, we need to be talking about reparation for Jim Crow baby boomers. And if you know B. Gaddy?
Yes.
Yeah, B. Gaddy sponsored a bill about 20 years ago for us getting reparation here in Baltimore. Now, we need to stop, talk. Let's stop boycotting Christmas and Halloween and all these pagan holidays, and let's get busy getting paid. Have a good.
You too. Reparations for Jim Crow babies. We have Ben on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Ben, how are you?
I'm sorry about that, Dr. K. I hit the wrong button.
Oh, no problem.
I have three questions.
Sure.
What's the price tag for genocide?
Oh, I don't think there is.
What's the price tag for disruption of the family?
There's not one. You can't put a price tag on the things you're
talking about. Maybe I get an easy one for you.
Let's see if we can get it easy, I'm telling you.
What's the price tag for miseducation? Ugh.
All of these. I don't think there's one price tag. I don't think it's not even $1 million. When you're talking about miseducation, that's a generation loss.
Yeah.
When you talk about genocide, that's future generations lost. When you start talking about the breakup of the family, that's our stabilizing center being lost. There's no crisis enough for this.
That's my point. The reason why we don't work together is because there's no more love now for each other because there's no family. There are pockets of families here and there. There's pockets of neighborhoods here and there. No communities, a lot of hoods, and we have a lot of folks who've been in the system that constantly disrupts, destroys, separates. We got to fix that. And the way to fix that is fixing us. But we have to know what needs to be fixed. What's the price tag for restoration of our making us whole again?
You know, I got to place you on hold, Ben. Everything you're asking, I mean, it has stopped me. I know we have a hard break here, but I want to pick this question up on the other side of the break. Folks, we're asking an age-old question, but we're trying to get to an answer, which is interesting. I'll give you a result that comes out of our unofficial poll as soon as we come back from the break, so stay with us. We'll be right back. today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, I asked a question in the last segment. I asked a simple question. What does America owe black folks? And I know that, that's kind of a difficult question, right? Because if you notice, for those of you who've been listening, we as black folks couldn't even agree on an answer. Now, I'm with Brandon Williams, who said, run me my coins. I always say that. I'm like, you know what, America, if you want to go back, if you're saying, look, this is how much we want to give black folks. And let me change that a little bit, because maybe what I'm doing is I'm using the wrong language. All right. They're not giving us anything. They are paying us what we are owed. So let's start there. America's not giving us a gift. America has never been known to give gifts. They don't give good and perfect gifts as a nation. That is not what we do. There is not one nation around this planet that can ever sit back and say, well, America gives good and perfect gifts, because we do not. Okay? We don't want them to gift us anything. We want them to give us what we're already owed, pay us what we're owed. When slavery ended, and you're talking slavery roughly, if you're saying, you know, I know there are a lot of this confusion back and forth about when slavery started. Was it 1619? Was it 1657? Let's just, for the sake of this argument, let's go ahead and use 1619, right? Let's go ahead and use Nicole Hannah Jones's whole ideology coming out of the 1619 project. It started in 1690. So what you want to do is you want to do the math. Slavery legally ended in 1865. So from 1619 to 1865, when you talk about how many years of labor, that's 246 years of free labor. Think about that, 246 years. Three, four, five generations easily. Could have been six, seven, eight, nine, 10 generations easily. Easily. Born enslaved. Work their entire life as an enslaved person. And if you're a woman, then you are probably being raped every year so you can have children to build up the economic base of the plantation owner. You were beaten. You were oppressed. You were harassed. 246 years. And then when you were, quote, legally free in 1865, the plantation owner had the nerve, the audacity, the caucasity to say, look, we don't owe you anything. We're not going to give you anything. You don't own the clothes you have on your back. You don't own the land that you've been tilling. You don't own the house that you've been living in. You don't own the food you're getting ready. You own nothing. Everything you own belongs to me. So if you want to leave this plantation with clothes on your back, food in your bag, hey, you want to have a bag, then you need to work for me. Therein lies what we call the sharecropping system. So you had formerly enslaved people living on Mr. Charlie's land that they've been living on their entire life without their permission, mind you. So now they work for Mr. Charlie, living in the same house, tilling the same land, but they're working into a hole because Mr. Charlie's going to take out the cost of the clothes, the shoes, the house, the food, take it all out. So you're working into a hole. So let's just say 246 years of labor. I would also argue that when Jim Crow started, we really want to do the math. Jim Crow started in 1896 with Plessy v. Ferguson. And that went until 1954 with Brown v. Boer. So we're just talking about how much does America owe us. That's 58 years of legalized segregation. When we were working in the background, couldn't be too loud, couldn't demand too much. There was a fear of being lynched. You saw the rise of a mass industrial prison complex with black folks being snatched off the street, black men and boys in particular, to build the economic base of the prison system. I would say they owe us for that as well. They do. You want to talk about redlining, and we know that Baltimore City is the home base of redlining. It started here. And then spread outwards, we can go with redlining. They kept us from buying our home, kept us from buying our land, kept our people from being able to get a loan so they can build their base. How about the VA loan? which we had black veterans who weren't able to tap into the VA loan that was supposed to be guaranteed to them because of their service. When you talk about what is owed to black, not what is given, what is owed to black folks, I think we have to run a whole chart here. We need to set up a ledger, put a book together, because what we're talking about is the ways in which this system has systematically conspired to keep us as a part of the permanent underclass. That's exactly what we're talking about. Zora says, look, if white supremacy had left us alone coming out of Reconstruction, we would have had everything we needed to survive in this country. I want to add to what Zora has said, Zora has put down. If white supremacy had left us alone and given us our 40 acres, our mules, and our $50, we would have been fine. Because we would have had land, we would have had a means of labor, and we would have had cash to get started. If you want to understand why it is that we are still being attacked in this country, socially, educationally, economically, politically, we're being attacked on every side. We are pressed down, yet we're not destroyed. We have moments of defeat, yet we are not defeated. It takes everything in us as black people, and I can't be the only one. 410-319-8888. Y'all, it takes a lot to stand up straight and tall in a crooked world. It does. It takes a lot. The mental damage that's been done to our children through a system that constantly and consistently miseducates them. Well, that's a whole nother price tag. It is. When I meet black children who are high school age and they can't read, they can't write, they can't do long division, they can't cipher, and they're 16, 15, 17 years old, that is miseducation. That's the end of future wages that could help build up a family. They owe us for that, too. We're not asking for America to give us anything. Black folks are not looking for handouts. When the Holocaust ended and places had to pay, countries had to pay, no one said, we're going to give the Jewish community, we're going to give them something. No, they are owed this money because of our participation in the Holocaust. We didn't have concentration camps in America. We didn't. But we turned away boatloads of people coming who were Jewish. We turned them away. We were being held responsible for that. You talk about what happened with the Japanese community. When America had to pay reparations for the Japanese internment camps, they paid it. They did. There are countless examples of America, writ large, paying reparations to communities that were damaged. The Jewish community. The Japanese community. There's some stories, and not a lot of them, there are a few instances where America has paid reparations to indigenous communities. Reparations in the form of, hey, getting off our land. Hey, giving us back our land. You want to sell it to us? They were selling it for a dollar. Give us back the land you stole from us. All we're saying that in these conversations of reparations, if black folks are not first and foremost in this conversation, then we're doing this whole thing wrong. We are. We're doing it all wrong because you cannot tell me that this country does not owe us. Here's an example that got me thinking about this as I got down this road. Because the Henrietta Lacks estate, and we all know about Henrietta Lacks, the black woman over at Hopkins, who went in to get checked out and had her cells stolen from her. And Hopkins and other universities, government companies, doctors, hospitals have made billions of dollars on the cells of Henrietta Lacks. A white woman did the book. I think her name was Rebecca Sloot, did the book. Oprah had it made into a movie. They stole her cells and they profited off of them. The family of Henrietta Lacks, her grandson, Ron Lacks, said, look, it's about time. 70 years later, we mourn Henrietta Lacks, and we will celebrate taking back control of Henrietta Lacks' legacy. I am just appalled that the family of Henrietta Lacks has not been run their change, billions of dollars. The Henrietta Lacks estate sued a biotechnology company yesterday over allegations that it is selling cells that physicians at Hopkins Hospital took from Henrietta Lacks in 1951 without her knowledge or consent. Henrietta Lacks, as we may all know, died from cervical cancer, and tissue from her tumor was taken from her before she died. The first human cells to be successfully cloned, those were her cells. That's tissue from her. Since then, they have been infinitely reproduced, and they became known as a line called the HeLa cells, a very durable line of cells used for scientific research, and they have become key in modern medicine. They use Henrietta Lacks' cells, a black woman, 1951. She went to the doctor to get help. They stole her cells from her. They have used that to develop the polio vaccine. Hear me. The Henrietta Lacks family should have been run millions of dollars for that alone. They used grandma's cells to develop the polio vaccine. We have eradicated polio thanks to the cells of Henrietta Lacks. They have, now this is going to get you, they have used the cells of Henrietta Lacks for the COVID-19 vaccines. Henrietta Lacks is saving us today. Her cells have been to the moon. Her cells have been frozen. Her cells have been set on fire. Like, everybody has worked with the cells of Henrietta Lacks. We have consent procedures today as a result of what has happened to a number of black and poor people, Henrietta Lacks in particular. They stole her cells. The lawyer is Ben Crump, who has filed this suit on behalf of the family. This is the question that one of the family's attorneys, Ben Crump, said on Monday. Why is it that they have intellectual rights to her cells and can benefit billions of dollars when her family, her flesh and blood, her black children get nothing? Nothing at all. And finally, we're trying to really start to wrestle with this, because Hopkins claims it reviewed its interactions and they said, look, we've never sold or profited from the discovery or distribution of HeLa cells. We don't even own the right to the HeLa cells. But they do acknowledge an ethical responsibility. The doctor was a part of Hopkins, the Hopkins family. Someone should be held responsible. We talk about what America owes black people. I want you to think about Henrietta Lacks in this. We have Robert on the phone from Baltimore. Robert, how are you?
How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Love how informative you are. I don't always agree, but I love the information that you give out. And quotes are, and speaking of the reparations and the money that they're about to get, the Afghani stand people come into the country and stuff, we're always put at the bottom of the list. And the sad part about it is there's a thing called representation, about taxation, about representation.
Right.
But we are heavily represented inside of all bodies of government. But yet our so-called politicians who are for the people go into these houses of government and they tend to forget to push that agenda they have to push. Right. Now, we elected our first African-American vice president, who's now it claims the Indian and African American descent, which nothing wrong with that, but
right,
she's claiming other parts of her descent at this time. But as a vice president, she won't champion a cause. Joe Biden won't champion a cause. We won't have a black, we won't have Kwaisi Mfume, my fellow Morgan, and I, he won't champion a cause. No one's going to stand up and do a filibuster for us to get our rights, but they'll do a filibuster all day long for them to get their pay raises.
So what do you think we should do about this? Is it just voting?
We need to find a way to make sure. We had a black caucus every year before we had the pandemic. We need to find a way to get every single African-American or person of African-American descent who's in a house of position or position of power to to try to get behind not just reparations, but the concept or idea that blacks need to really get what's rightfully due them. At the same time, we have a social responsibility once we're given opportunities to take advantage of them as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Folks, I want to go to this clip we have from WJZ around the Henrietta Lacks case, because I do think it ties in to what America owes black people and then also what they're willing to take from us, which I would argue is everything.
State of Henrietta Lacks filed this lawsuit today in federal court. That's 70 years to the day after she died of cervical cancer.
From the cells stolen.
Henrietta Lacks' family and its attorneys Monday officially filed this lawsuit against Thermo Fisher Scientific. It alleges the biotech company knowingly mass-produced and sold tissue taken from the Baltimore woman by Johns Hopkins doctors.
For some reason, feels they have intellectual property rights over his grandmother's cells that were illegally stolen from her body.
Lacks went to Hopkins in 1951 for cervical cancer treatment. When her cancer cells were biopsied, doctors realized instead of dying, her cells doubled every 20 to 24 hours. They were nicknamed the HeLa cells and played a critical role in medical advancements, despite no permission from Lacks or her family, whose attorneys argue have a right to benefit from her legacy.
This isn't just about social justice. This is about genetic justice.
Thermo Fisher Scientific made more than $32 billion in revenue last year. The lawsuit names a dozen product lines it alleges are cultivated from HeLa cells and says the company knew HeLa cells were stolen and chose to use her body for profit anyway.
No longer will we let outside entities control the narrative and dictate what's going on with this family.
Johns Hopkins has said it did not sell or profit from the discovery or distribution of HeLa cells.
We want them to make the pledge 70 years later to Henrietta Lacks' family. Do right by Henrietta. Do right.
That was just an update on the story of Henrietta Lacks. We're talking about what does America owe black folks? And then we just have some examples of what they're willing to take. Now, we could go down the path and we could have a whole show talking about Black Wall Street, but I think we got that. We can go down the path. We can have a whole show talking about Rosewood. I think we got that. Henrietta Lacks is on the table, just throwing it out there. And also Bruce's Beach. So this is a very interesting story. It's a beachfront property that was seized from a black family in Southern California nearly a century ago. In 1912, Willa and Charles Bruce bought land in Manhattan Beach, a Los Angeles seaside suburb, and they turned it into a thriving resort run for and by black people. They set up a resort. It was only for black people. Black folks worked there. They received constant harassment and violence from their white neighbors. 1912. So in the 1920s, what the Manhattan Beach City Council did, they didn't want black folks there. 1920s. They didn't want black folks set up a resort to just have a place so that other black people can go. Have you noticed, too, that the history in this country around white supremacy, what Zora said, it's not just that it won't leave us alone, but it constantly finds ways to take what belongs only to us. Burning down Black Wall Street was something that belonged to us. Burning down Rosewood belonged to us. Stealing Henrietta Lacks' cells, because they stole her cells. And now Bruce Beach. So the Manhattan Beach City Council used eminent domain to take the land from the Bruces, purportedly for use as a park. Yet the land lay unused for years until it was transferred to the state in 1948. This week, the descendants of Willa and Charles Bruce, including the couple's great-great-grandson, watch California's Governor Gavin Newsom, sign a law that allows ownership of the property known as Bruce's Beach to be transferred back to the family. Let me tell you what the great-great-grandson said, Anthony Bruce, who's 38 years old. He said, "For me and the generations after, this will mean an inheritance." and that internal security of knowing that I come from somewhere, that I come from a people. I thought long and hard about that. What do we have to leave our children? What are you leaving your children? We talk about inheritance. When we talk about moving forward, what are you leaving your children? Henrietta Lacks, her family is suing. The company that they're suing, the biotech company, has assets coming in every year, revenue of $35 billion. I hope that the Henrietta Lacks family, I hope they get $34.9999 billion. I hope they get it all. I do. I do. They have run whole companies, paid profits out. They have had big parties celebrating using the cells of Henrietta Lacks without her permission and profiting for it. Now, have we all benefited? Yes. Should we all pay? No, they should pay. I did not know that Henrietta Lacks' cells were used for polio and for COVID-19 vaccines, but they did. They should pay. I hope they get it all. The Beach family, they're getting their money back. They should get your land back, and you should also receive back money because the family suffered as a result of losing that resort. There's another one. Black farmers. They call it the Black Farmers Civil Rights Act of 2020. It's from last year. They're trying to push it through this year. Right now, they're saying black farmers who've been robbed of land, that with this new bill, the Black Farmers Civil Rights Act of 2020, by putting that in place, it would give them a quantum leap toward justice. Black farmers need justice as well. 410-319-8888. Let's talk some more after the break. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. After the turn of the 20th century, Black agriculture was at its peak in America. With the eras of emancipation and reconstruction, black folks, listen, this is the part that's going to get you, largely formerly enslaved people and their descendants. You know how much land black folks acquired at the turn of the 20th century? Going back to Zora's point where Zora said, you know what, white supremacy, if it had left us alone after slavery, we would have turned this whole thing around. Black folks had acquired as much as 14 million acres of land across the United States. We were some of the biggest landowners in this country. And you know what happened? White supremacy, the KKK, federal laws stepped in, state laws stepped in, and systematically robbed black folks of the land that we had acquired. Do you understand that the land that we acquired, when it got moved to the next person, they would set up, put taxes on the land. Black folks couldn't pay all of these high taxes. And then the white person would swoop in and they would buy the land at an auction. $2,000 tax lien, $504 loan purchased by a white family, a white man. The land's worth $20,000 and you can just begin to add all of the money on top of that. The leading cause of black land loss was all about taxes, federal laws, and state laws. We have a couple calls in here. Let's get them in here. And then we have Dr. Lynette Jones. We'll talk Dr. Sharon Lynette Jones. We'll talk to her in just a second. We have Walter on the phone. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing good.
So did you want to add to the conversation, sir?
I wanted to veer off the conversation. I wanted to talk about what's going on with the Haitians that have been exported.
Okay, did you want to make a comment about that? Yes.
Yes. I'm very upset because I'm trying to understand that how did the government allow the Arabs to come into the United States,
uh-huh.
And they gave them aid, their system and everything, but when it came to the Haitian, they turned them away. then the president, he used the 2020, the Title 42, which is stated under the public health law. I don't understand why that wasn't applied to Afghanistan.
Okay. No, thank you so much, Walter, for putting that on the table. And we will cover that during our weekly wrap tomorrow. We'll spend some time on that. I want to get to Tenson, a new call from Elkridge, Maryland. Tenson, how are you?
Hey, how are you, sister?
I'm doing well.
I enjoy your show. I just want to expound on something that one of your previous callers said about what do we owe each other.
Yes.
We're doing more harm to each other now more than ever. I can remember when I was a Morganite back in 1978, and my friends and us, we used to talk about all the issues that you talk about right now, but you're bringing it up to date and expounding on, you know, the community that we are living in now. But we used to talk about all these issues that you're speaking about right now. You give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll feed himself for a lifetime. It says in the scriptures, our people perish because of lack of knowledge. They don't have a vision.
Right.
So, Dr. K, you opened up with Facebook, and you want to know how to draw yourself away from it? You have children. I don't have children personally. But America is now finding out it's just not about black children. It's about all children. And that we have got to find some comprehensive way of saving all children.
Okay. Now, I got to stop you there, Tenson. I appreciate you. Folks, I have Dr. Sharon Lynette Jones, a professor at the Department of English, Language, and Literatures at Wright State University in Ohio, to just chime in with her to get a check-in on a new book she has coming out called Conversations with Angela Davis. So let's put a pin just for a second, talk to Dr. Jones, and I'll come back and follow up with you with your comments about what does America owe black people.